Hello and welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map. My guest for today is Stephanie Suru, founder and CEO of SheSpace, a co-working space for women to meet, work, and find support. Stephanie shares the origin story of SheSpace, how it's grown since opening its doors, and how she hopes to continue to provide the ideal workplace for Houston's female entrepreneurs in the new year. Stephanie, thanks so much for joining me today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's my first podcast of the year, so I feel refreshed and ready to go. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, I'm excited to talk to you. But first, let's talk about SheSpace. Where did this idea come from? What was your background leading up to this? Give us that origin story.
So I worked for 25 years in healthcare in rehab, and I was most interested in physical rehab. But so I was most interested, though, in the psychological component of healing. And it got to the point where I could identify, like in the first two or three minutes of meeting a new patient, how well they were going to do by the way they thought about themselves and what they were going through. So I was very interested in like motivational psychology. And even though I would be treating these patients for physical, you know, injuries or accidents, it was the long-term benefit I really saw was what they accomplished, like psychologically and emotionally. And so I'd have these people for very long periods of time. And the things that we actually accomplished were like having people go back to school or looking for a new job or getting out of an icky relationship. So that really said a lot about what I thought I should be doing. And then when I moved to Texas, I was already registered in five states and I thought, I don't want to do that again. And so in Texas, and so I'm going to do something different. So I went back to school and got my master's at Rice, emphasis in sociology and psychology, and when possible in women's and the way women think, which is just a unique way of thinking. And then ultimately that led me to SheSpace, but there were a lot of other things that happened. So I graduated in 2017, went back when I was 53. I'm not afraid to try new things. And I use that every day as an example, because I don't think it matters how old you are or how young you are. I just don't think age matters. I think there's just a lot of cool things to try. And especially right now when everyone's coming out of COVID, there's so many people trying new things. And so I use myself as an example all day long. I never would have thought I'd be doing this. I'm now 62 and my friends are like, why are you doing this? Because you could be doing anything. But this is because, first of all, I want to do it. Second of all, I think I should. I think I have a whole lifetime of experience to share with women. And every day someone comes in that I have something that I always have something in common with them, because I have just a lot of minutes under my belt at this point. Then combine that with, I was working in nonprofit and I would have a meeting on one side of town and on another side of a town in north and south. And I didn't have time to get home or to get to an office. And I called it coffee shop hopping, and I was tired of it. You couldn't find a seat, or it was loud, or there was sugar everywhere, or, you know, I just didn't feel like it was a professional environment. And I was working out of my car, and I just one day was like, there has to be a better way to do this, because you'd look around and you see seven other women in the coffee shop working on their laptop, but none of them were talking or engaging with each other. You could tell that they wanted to, but everyone was just kind of working independently. And I was like, there absolutely has to be a better way to do it. And so you look around and there's so many women in the same boat. So all these things kind of came together at the same time. So I had this like idea, and I knew about co-working, but I didn't really know about. So the idea wasn't about co-working. It was a place to bring women that were like independent contractors, entrepreneurs. It was a place to bring all these women together so they didn't have to sit by themselves in the coffee shop. And then I like, oh, WeWork. I knew about WeWork, but I hadn't spent any time on it, because the idea wasn't about that. It was about the women. And then we executed the lease on December 24th, 2019. And then what happened right around the corner? Yeah. The pandemic, but so I worked on it, talked to a bunch of women. I'm trying to explain this idea. And at that time, is it like a leadership place? Is it a workplace? Is it nonprofit? Is it for profit? What is this? So all that I worked on and just talked to women for about 4 to 5 months. And then I thought, this is way bigger than I am. And I don't have a business background at that point. And so I brought in my daughter-in-law, who was transitioning out of corporate, and she had 10 years in oil and gas with a finance background. And so we're a perfect partnership. So I started studying what's a perfect partnership. Believe it or not, it's different generations. And obviously different skill sets, because then you have the different perspectives. So they call it a master partnership when you have two different generations. And she's my daughter-in-law. So that makes us keep both things very civil, because like if it was my own, if it was my daughter, I'd probably be a little bit more direct, but she's absolutely wonderful, absolutely delightful. And what makes this work for both of us is that we respect each other very much and respect our differences and our similarities. And that is a very long way of saying, like, she space, how it came about, but also she space evolves every single day, because all we have basically done is provide the space and the women are using it how they need it. So,
yeah,
it changes every day.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think how you describe it is really to the point where it's not necessarily about the space itself, but more the community focus first, you know,
100%.
Yeah. How do you make sure that that community is there, that not just the physical space, which is beautiful, which, you know, everyone should Google and look out the space. It's so inspiring and colorful and fun. But, you know, more than that, how do you make sure the community aspect is there? What do you look at and make sure is meeting that, you know, expectation you have?
We meet with every single person that comes in here. So like whether they're working for an office, joining. So we are membership based. So we have at the top level is offices, and then we have private desks, and then we have like a community hot desk, floating desk area. And then we have a very large social membership, which is people that maybe really don't need a place to work, but want to be part of the community. Again, that was not part of the original plan. It's just, we had so many people that wanted to be part of the community. And like, what do we do with that? So we started this social networking group, and they come to all the events, but we meet with every single person. And right now we're up to 250 women. And there's only been one woman that really, she didn't fit in, and she didn't fit in because she wasn't respectful. I mean, it wasn't her ideas. It wasn't what she did. It was that she didn't treat other people well. And that does not fit in with our mission or vision or ethos. And so she's no longer here. That's how it works, is because we know everyone in here.
So obviously you referenced the pandemic and, you know, having the idea and getting the lease right before that, but what other challenges or maybe that is the challenge, that was the biggest challenge you faced, but how did you go about some of these early challenges to, just ahead of opening or after opening and dealing with the pandemic, et cetera?
So the challenge was, well, we were building out during it. So we had all the supply chain interruptions, and women, it sounds crazy, but women leased offices without the building even being here, because we were like paying out what this is going to look like. And so we have women needing an office, like they need an office. They're running a business, and like, it was so slow getting it built out because of supply chain interruptions. So that was a challenge, but more than anything, I didn't want to disappoint women. We had made a promise to them, and we were going to do everything we could to have that come through. The other challenge has just been keeping up with it, keeping up with like the demand and keeping up with the women. And so we opened with one hall of offices. We call it the West Wing, and it booked out, filled immediately. And we still had women needing more offices and more meeting rooms and some conference rooms. And so we were the very first tenant. So luckily, another female entrepreneur was looking at the space immediately adjacent. And we just went to her, Katie and I, and we said, do you mind just moving down one? And so she moved down, and then we leased the space and we built out this office hall. And we are minus one office. We're at 100% capacity. So, which somebody came to look at today. So, but as of right now, we're almost full, but we're not quite full.
Yeah. So that's the expansion that happened.
That was, yes.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah. So what was it like to be able to expand within, like, I think it was a year of opening your doors, you were already
8 months.
Expanding.
So after 8 months, we had to sign the second lease. I didn't see it coming because of the pandemic. I think it was a little unexpected. And it's brand new. The concept was unusual because we're very design heavy, based on the fact that we think women work really hard and deserve a beautiful place to work. So it's unique in the fact that we have spent so much time and energy on the design. And even the design is based on psychology. The colors, the formation, the temperature, everything in here is psychology based. And the other challenge I want to mention that took a little bit longer is that a team of 33 women built out She Space. So in some of those industries, it would have been easier just to say, we're just going to get a man and we just won't tell anybody. But we just couldn't do it because that's not who we were. I mean, it was really hard to find women in some of these areas like IT, AV, but we did. I mean, we found women-owned companies when at all possible. And if not possible, we would go with we had to have a female representative. So every hand that touched here was female. And so that was challenging just because we were so devoted to the mission of having women build it out. Like, I mean, even our construction manager was female, and there's just not many in commercial.
Yeah. I'm very interested in the psychology of women affecting your decisions in the space. So tell me a little bit more about how you figured out, like you said, the temperature of that. What other interesting things that people might not notice?
But... Well, the temperature thing is also is interesting for women because women of different age have different temperature requirements. And so that's something that we work on constantly. Women don't like to be freezing. We don't like to be freezing. And we don't like to be hot. And so what is the ideal temperature? Well, it's actually about 73. And you go in an office building and like you see people working with their space heaters. That does not make sense to me. But women, there are a lot of things. So the reason we put ourselves into a retail area and instead of like the traditional office setting, well, women have a lot of stuff on their plate. And we don't get our stuff done in an office complex. We get our stuff done by everything that surrounds us. So we have like the gas station and the grocery store and the makeup store and the nail salon. And we have Home Depot, which believe it or not, I love Home Depot. And Target. And it's all about convenience. So instead of spending an hour a week driving around to all these locations, we can walk to them within minutes. So it had to be, what I started to talk about was parking. Parking is a huge thing for women. So one, we needed convenience so we can get our stuff done. And two, parking. First of all, I'm not going to put women into a parking garage because I don't like parking garages. I don't think they're safe. I'm not going to make women drive around and look for a parking spot. And I'm not going to make women pay for parking. So, I mean, the parking was a huge thing for me with women. And so we looked at some cool spots, but parking was an issue. And I'm like, these are the criteria we have to meet for parking. So Katie and I, my daughter-in-law, we looked at a lot of spots, but this is the place. This is it. And it's perfect.
Yeah. You also got in it before a lot of places opened. So it's like, it's only getting kind of better.
It's getting better. Every day it gets better. Just across the way, there's like a salon going in. And so we just knew this is where we needed to be for what was already here. And then what's being built out since now, it's like, if I handpicked it, I couldn't do a better job for the businesses going in around. And there's restaurants, and one of the restaurants, they actually leased out an office while they were building out. And so they're just really great friends. And so, yeah, we're friends with everybody here. But yeah, it is a retail space. It's a shopping center.
Well, it's great. I like that area. There's a lot going on. So one thing, I mean, I've been to an event at She Space, so mm-hmm. I know both host event programming and also work with community partners to provide them. So how do you navigate that? You know, how often are things happening for people to like maybe even use that as an entry point to get to see the space for the first time through these partner events?
So yes, we do a lot of She Space sponsored events because we are very very enthusiastic about women continuing to learn. That's why we have, you know, we have a library, we have a bookstore, but the programming was very important to us. And so at this point, when we do programs almost exclusively, we use the women inside She Space because one, they have a lot to offer and they're all topics we need to know about. And two, we want to promote their businesses. So it's like a win-win for everyone. I like as much as possible, I use women inside She Space for everything, except for pest control. I can't find a female in pest control. So if you know anyone, let me know. But like our clothing, because we have a lot of women in design, we have women that own shops, like my earrings are like a She Space member. So as much as possible for our internal works, it's all promoting She Space. But I mean, like we have women in every industry. We have everything from an opera singer to a veterinarian, and then all the traditional, you know, marketing and graphic design and social media. We have a couple kinds of attorneys. I mean, we have everyone. We've created our own ecosystem and we know everyone and we trust everyone and we know about them. So I'm 100% comfortable because we have a lot of startups in here saying, trust this person, you can use this person, they do excellent work, because I see it all the time. So the world has actually just gotten a lot easier because we know all this and we don't have to go hunting and then have that hanging question mark. Is this not the woman and the service I receive going to be of good quality? And it is, because we know them. Then all the women in the community, a lot of women's groups, which is how you and I met, a lot of women's groups. And that was also something we were very passionate about in the beginning, but like, would women do it? Well, they are doing it. So it's women in business, women in banking, women in construction, architecture. There's all kinds of just women's groups, women leadership groups. There's groups that work with youth. And they use the space for their programming. And a lot of them are on a regular basis, like once a month or quarterly, like the women in Women's Energy Network. Like, so they're like on kind of have a program and they've been here a couple times. We just had the coolest group called Politics and Prosecco. So we drank Prosecco and it was all women in the political realm in Houston. We had a senator here. I mean, it's just incredible. It's really incredible.
That is really cool. I mean, when you like think about all of the different types of groups focused on women that exist already, but there's also kind of like endless opportunities for others to emerge. And She Space can be a home for that. It's awesome.
So March something is RBG's birthday. So we have a birthday party for RBG because she has her own room here. We have several rooms named after really influential women. So RGB's birthday is in March and we're having a birthday party. So we invited the Politics and Prosecco people. So like we're going to bring them in and then they can meet everyone else that's already in the space. And so that's kind of how it's working. It's like starting to introduce the groups to each other. It's like the women in commercial real estate with the women in construction, you know, those kinds of connections.
Well, also women in tech. I know
women. I was waiting for you to bring that up. So I did not bring that up.
And yes. Partnering for that program. Tell me about that opportunity and kind of what doors that opened and how you helped these women founders.
That was one of the most amazing things we've done. And so Div Inc. had the very first Women in Tech Accelerator. And when I heard about it, I'm like, okay, we have to be part of that. We have to be part of that. That is just, it's just too wonderful. So the majority, they're startups. It's an accelerator. And my point to Ashley and everyone on the team was like, if they come here, so we have a classroom so they can work in the classroom. But if they come here, the real benefit for them is that they are going to see these women just a little bit ahead of them or a lot ahead of them, and they can start to interact, and they're going to, there's role modeling going to naturally occur. So these people that were where they were 2 years ago or 5 years ago or even 8 months ago, they can see, okay, there's light at the end of the tunnel and this is how it works. And so they were here for 12 weeks. Then we had the graduation or demo day, and six of the women, there were nine in the program. Six of the women were, well, five actually lived in Houston. One was relocating to Houston. So six of the nine were here. And then the others were here from time to time. Several actually live in the area. And so, yes, we're just continuing our relationship with them. And it's going to be really fun. I mean, these women are so brilliant and fabulous. And so we're continuing our relationship with them. And it was really exciting to have them here. And Houston is really, as we know, and if you don't know, I'm sure you talk about it all the time, Houston is really, really getting strong in the tech market. We've actually had a couple ladies relocate from Austin that are in tech that will be working out of She Space just very recently. So go tech.
Yeah. Well, and to your point earlier about like creating this ecosystem of female founders and business women, like that's very beneficial to a startup to have all of that right in their kind of office space, you know, find an accountant in the area.
Exactly.
Area.
That we trust and that we know.
Yeah, right next door, down the
hall. Like literally, you know, six steps down.
Yeah, absolutely. Are there ways you personally kind of help facilitate those transactions? Is there like a member newsletter or contact list that people can use to really find those connections?
Yes, I mean, we do have all that. We have a member directory. I mean, we have things that connect the women, but the majority of the time, they will come to us at the desk and say, do you have a minute? And so Katie and I sit at the front desk, and people are always so shocked to see the founder sitting at the front desk, but that's how we know everybody. And we know everyone so well when they walk in, and we can tell, oh, this is not a good day. What's going on? Let's talk. What can we do? But I would say almost exclusively, it is something that a connection that we make. Because we know all the people.
Absolutely. I know I've already told people to go look up pictures of the space or book a tour or something, but I wonder if you can describe the office space and any particular elements that are your favorite and just the capacity and what's available for members to use. I know you have a podcast studio, for instance. So yeah, I wonder if you can describe, set the scene for everyone.
So what is my favorite thing about this is, one, the women. Fabulous. But two, and maybe hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll talk about this later, it's the library. I'm a book girl. I love the books. And so the books, by the way, our library has to be penned by a woman. Nothing against male authors, but we like to promote the females. And honestly, we have a lot of authors inside She Space. And we have a lot of women who have published books or who are in the middle of writing books. And so that is my favorite part. And then we have a very small bookstore, because I always wanted to own a bookstore, but that's, you know. So we have a very small bookstore. Same thing, has to be written by a woman. So yes, She Space is the exact opposite of what like a traditional office work environment is in neutrals. So when you study color psychology, don't understand it, why people use beiges and browns, and because the colors we have in here, which you can kind of see behind me in our hard hats. Yes, we actually did wear those hard hats during build out, are pinks, oranges, greens. Those are the colors of like motivation and enthusiasm, creativity, and all that actually increases productivity, which I would think that's what you would want from a work environment. Now, if we come out after this podcast, Natalie, we have like 15 pink and green offices coming out, we'll know that you have a, everyone's changing their colors. Men really like it here too. You know, we are women, but we do have men that work on teams here, and the men really like it here as well. Everyone gets along really, really well here. But honestly, I don't think there's anything I don't like here. Katie's favorite, because she came out of oil and gas when she was having children, is our mother's room. So we have a lactation room, and it was the first thing on the list that had to be in here. And it's beautiful. It's very soft pinks, and it's designed just for mothers. But again, yeah, we have podcast room, we have meeting rooms, we have event spaces, and we can manage a lot at the same time. But I'm guessing this may be where our conversation is going. We are looking to expand into a different additional location.
Tell me more about that.
Yeah. Because we're full, and Houston is huge, and it covers, you know, the geographic wise, it just covers so many miles. So we, Katie and I are in the middle of sorting through that. We do think that this probably will remain the flagship, and this is where events will still be held. But we are looking at satellite areas for more offices and just workspace and meeting rooms, but not events. Events will still come from here.
What's the timeline that you're thinking about for those?
So we have our timeline, and build outs have their own timeline. So I would think we will definitely make a decision and have the location this year. And then location to be determined. And then we will start branching out to other cities in Texas.
Well, yes, you did mention the library, which is also something I like about space. I couldn't help but just like kind of scan the shelves to see which books I've read, because I'm a big reader as well. So I know we have to talk about books. What are you reading lately, or what book that you read last was your favorite read?
Oh my gosh, I have been on a reading tear. I just love, I mean, really reading tear. So as a child, I read mostly nonfiction. I think you'd go to the library and I would read a biography from time to time. Then as an adult, I read a lot of nonfiction. So I'm kind of like re-entering the fiction world during pandemic, and I just cannot get enough of it. Although I do still read a lot of nonfiction, but at this point, I feel like I could write my own nonfiction book, which I will not do. I will leave that to the professionals. So I read a book called Wild Honey recently, and then I read a book, Diamond Eye. I think you and I talked about Diamond Eye. Did we talk about Diamond Eye?
We might have.
The Sniper?
Yes, I just read it, actually, last week.
Yeah, so like, just because it's so unique, the idea of a female sniper. Did you like it?
I loved it. I love Kate Quinn, though. So Kate Quinn.
Yes, she's good. Network, I like Kate Quinn, too.
The Rose Code.
I'm like, yeah, go Kate. Such a good topic. And then last week, I mean, I read a couple of books last week. I read a book called Wild Cat, and it's about a female stagecoach robber. So it was creative nonfiction. So actually, I don't even think it was I don't think it was creative. I think it was just pure nonfiction. So it was like the untold story of this woman named Pearl Hart, who was a stagecoach robber.
That's very interesting.
I know. I just saw it laying there. And I think the reason there's so many wonderful books on women being written lately is because all these stories are starting to be like uncovered, like they've been around, but nobody took the time to write about them or investigate. And so like, I'm just like crazy about all these. I think these women are like doing like amazing, amazing things. What about you, Natalie?
Well, I have to think about, like, I love that all of the books you just talked about were like women, written about women and by women. So that's really interesting. So I was going to say Diamond Eye, and I think you did tell me to read that. And then Mad Honey is one I just read by Jodi Picoult and Jennifer Finney Bolin. That was so good. And it has like a little bit of like a mysterious part about it. And it also, you learn a lot about beekeeping, which is not something I ever thought I needed to know about, but, it was very fascinating. So that's one for sure. But yeah, I love fiction. The other one I really liked, I read last year, was The Measure. And this you have to read. You have to read The
Wait,
Measure.
The Measure.
By Nikki Ehrlich. It's kind of like a fun take on, not fun, not very, very stressful take on, like if you woke up one morning and outside everyone's doorstep was a box, and inside the box is a string that depicts how long your life will be.
Oh, whoa. Okay.
So whether or not you open the box, like if you're like, I don't want to know, I want to live life like normal, or you open the box and it's a short string, you know, or you open the box and it's a long string and you just like feel invincible because you already know how long you're going to live. Anyways, it was very interesting because if she really takes like the idea and puts it in the political scheme, like what politicians would do with that information. Like, can we elect a president if he has a short string, or should we elect the candidate who has a longer string just because we know he's not going to die in his term? Things like that. It was deep.
Okay.
And you'll devour it.
I can't wait. Yeah, so when like I said, we have a lot of authors in here and they will do their launches and things like that. So, and I think, well, because we are a space that, because of the color, I mean, creatives are very attracted to here. So I get to talk to a lot of authors and it's just fun because their processes are also different. So.
Yeah, I think there's definitely I don't know if I'm just pushing this because I like to read a lot and I cover tech and startup founders, but there's definitely some sort of like similarity between an author and a startup founder. Mm-hmm. And like, you have to be creative. You also have to be resourceful. It's a tough industry. Not, you know, every
Makes
author
sense.
Their book published kind of thing. So yeah, I think that is interesting that the space has attracted some authors too, but
okay, well, good. I have something to put at the top of my list because sometimes I've like, there's thousands of books out there, but I need the one.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I guess just to wrap up, I mean, we could talk about books forever.
I know.
other than your reading to-do list, what's on the to-do list for She Space? I know you obviously talked about expanding in 2023, but what else do you hope to happen this year?
I spend a lot of my time encouraging women. So they'll have these fabulous ideas and I encourage them. So what I'm working on now is the women that are starting to build out workshops and classes that they would be the ones holding the workshops and classes, like, because they're all subject matter experts, but they've never thought that they could do it or like who would like. The self-confidence imposter thing is still alive and well. And so I work to stomp out that beast every day. So I'm really working with a lot of women on what does that look like for you? Yeah, because they want to do it. And they have a lot of valuable insight. So that is big on my list this year. And we do a lot of fun things like our vision board parties next week, and it's a big thing for me. It's really to look at every single woman in here and how can I promote what they do? Like we have floral designers, and like so, it's like I want to do. There's only so many hours and there's so many days of the year, but we're trying to just get as many women out there and get their services and their business exposure as possible. That's my goal. I mean, we've done a good job of it, but I just want to do a better job. I want everyone to know about everyone in here.
Well, that sounds great. And I think you've got a lot on your plate. So I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me today. Really insightful stuff and excited to see what comes from She Space in the future.
Thank you so much. And I will let you know after I finish the measure.
Yes, let me know. Awesome.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Houston Innovators Podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss next week's edition, and check out innovationmap.com for the latest Houston startup and innovation news.